to episode 128 of
Brutal Battle.
Thank you very much, Mike. Mike Johnzak in the house again, ready to drink yet some more beers. Don't drink that yet.
Just smelling.
He's already grabbing one of the mystery beers. What's this?
I just want to smell. It's like, come on now.
Okay, that's fine. You can smell it. You can't taste it ahead of time. That's fine. That's good. I'm all right with that.
I can't taste it ahead of time because it'd be gone by the time it came up for drinking time.
Probably. Because we typically chat for about 15 minutes about whatever. I have to do full disclosure on this. I was sipping more of that abominable, that bourbon barrel aged abominable by Fremont.
So good.
So I'm feeling it a little bit. So I might not be 100% on top of my game for this episode. Hopefully I am, but if I'm not, it's Fremont's fault in the best way possible.
And I know you've already heard this, but I'm going to do it again.
Sissy. Sissy.
That's fine. That abominable is very good. All right, so we're going to do the hop knowledge. Today's hop, or this episode's hop, is Super Alpha.
Oh, that's a good one right there.
So Super Alpha is a product of the New Zealand Horticultural Research Center. I'm having a hard time already, as you can tell. Released in 1976, this variety has risen from bittering to dual-purpose status as the world of brewing has changed around it. Super Alpha hops are bred as a triploid variety between smooth cone and open pollination. Super Alpha, as you might think, high alpha acids, 10 to 12%. Not as high as the Summit that we had on last episode, but still pretty high.
A very tolerable one, though.
Yeah. The bitterness is considered clean and crisp, even with its very high cohumulone content. Balance gives Super Alpha hops a resinous character with notes of herbal piney and lemongrass. Super Alpha hops is now a mainstay of the for New Zealand, providing character and defining a new era of mostly lagers, but ales as well. Lives in the disease-free environment of New Zealand and has yet to be marked with susceptibility for any particular disease or fungus.
Wait, New Zealand is disease-free?
Apparently.
Oh, right. I need to go down there.
Not sexually transmitted disease-free. Super Alpha hops produce a yield of approximately 1,940 pounds per acre, which is considered moderate. So there you have it, the Super Alpha. Some examples of beers with this particular hop. Matutu Brewery, their lager. I've never even heard of Matutu, but it was a fun name. As well as Monteith Brewing Company's Doppelbach Winter Ale.
Interesting.
Haven't heard of them either, but, you know. Those are examples. Maybe someone out there has heard of them.
Can maybe send them to us, just saying.
Oh. Okay.
I'll do a shout out there. You know, just saying, anybody that they're readily available to, send them to Brutal Battles. We can't argue with that.
Actively soliciting for free beer, please. Come on. Send it in. And if you want to send in beer, if you're a brewery or an individual, or you want us to look for certain beers to have on the show, you can send us an email, brutalbattlepodcast@gmail.com. Or actually, you can just throw something at us on Facebook. Just look for us on Facebook or, you know, tweet at us. We're at Brutal Battle, and I'm Carlin at Brutal Battle. So, a few options for you. Social media, all that stuff. The emails.
It's the way to get out there.
Yeah. It's 2015. Duh. Okay, so the topic for this episode, Mike, I wanted to talk about an experience I had at a place called Beeroteca.
I would love to hear that, because I've heard good things about them, and some mixed reviews, but I have yet to actually go there myself.
First of all, I think you should go, if for nothing else, but the pizza.
Their pizza, I've heard, is their specialty for the food items.
Artisan pizzas, the crust. The key for any pizza, in my opinion, if it's good, is the crust. Does the crust taste right?
Correct. Well, crust. Sauce. I'm very particular about my sauce. I don't like those really super citrusy, tangy style sauces. I just want a good, clean, mild tomato sauce on there.
Well, it depends, because they have a lot of different pizzas, and I'm talking about pizza right now because I'm on the topic, but then I'll get to the craft beer because they have a lot of craft beer. But anyway, well, I'll tell you about the pizzas we had when we were there. I had one that was, I don't even remember what it was called, but it basically had like spicy sausage, like a nice marinara sauce.
Okay.
Or a nice tomato sauce on it. And what else did it have on it? Some other ingredients.
Presumably cheese.
Delicious. I think some caramelized onions maybe.
Okay.
Real delicious. Really good. And that was actually really good the next day cold. Like, really good. Rebecca.
I can't do cold pizza.
Oh, I love cold pizza.
No, not me. I want it hot. I want it
I think
warm.
It makes the flavor better for some reason. It's weird. So, Rebecca actually had one called pistachio, which I have no idea why they call it pistachio because it doesn't taste like pistachio anything. But it had a couple different types of cheese. But the main thing is it had these really nice pieces of meat on it that were kind of like a mix between ham and prosciutto.
Okay.
Like, it was very prosciutto-esque. Super fatty.
Okay.
Like, very, like, bacony, fatty.
Probably pork belly prosciutto would be my guess.
I mean, that's kind of what it was like.
Mm-hmm.
But it was melting in your mouth. When you took each bite, you could feel that fat just, like, coating your whole mouth and your tongue. And it was just so, had a lot of umami, if you know what I'm talking about. And just, like,
that very addictive flavor.
Savory as hell. Just, oh, my God. That pizza was unreal. Unreal. So I recommend that highly. All the pizzas are really good. Also, if you like duck, there was a duck-duck-goose pizza.
I love duck and goose.
They put a duck confit on it.
Okay.
With a, I believe, a fig and onion jam. Oh, just unreal.
Besides the duck and goose that I love and I've had many times, I don't know if you fully know this about me. On my bucket list, I want to eat two of every animal.
Okay.
I want to be the opposite of Noah. And yes... Outside of this country, I have legally eaten an endangered animal before.
Uh-oh.
One time. I'm looking for multiple times, but my goal in life is to eat two of every animal.
Oh, I did not know that, but interesting. But I will say you should definitely try those pizzas. Those pizzas are great. But this is a podcast about beer, obviously.
Correct.
We want to talk about craft beer. They have like 20 taps at Beeroteca, and I've been there before and tried some really good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What did they have? They had one of the Enjoy Buys on tap at one point. They've had a lot of really nice stuff, to be honest. So some things craft beer related I like there and some things I don't like there. One of the things I liked, when I was there, they had a sour beer on tap by Jolly Pumpkin out of, I forget what city, but they're out of Michigan. And it was their BAM beer, which is it's like a Brettanomyces Saison, I believe. Real tasty, really good beer. I mean, Jolly Pumpkin does really good Brettanomyces
sour
beers.
Styles.
Good stuff. I was surprised in this area to see a sour beer on tap because...
They're not
that
popular.
I mean, you don't like sour beers.
Not one bit.
I know you probably get from your clientele at Wine World that they don't really want sour beers.
Well, they're definitely have been on the rise recently and become more and more popular.
Yeah, from like zero to a little bit.
Correct. They're still not anywhere near some of the other styles
out
there that have just exploded recently.
Yeah. Well, I hear you. So I was surprised at first to find that. And I was just like, oh my God, the BAM beer by Jolly Pumpkin? I gotta. Which it was very tasty. What I really liked is the lady who was our server, which I didn't catch her name. So sorry about that. She was really good, though. She had said, she was like, okay, you do know that, first of all, is not a pumpkin beer. Just because it's by Jolly Pumpkin.
Correct. I get that at work all the time when I have one of their kegs on the growler station. They're like, ooh, I want to try this pumpkin beer. I'm like, what? Jolly Pumpkin? Yadi? That's not actually a pumpkin beer. Jolly Pumpkin is the name of the brewery. They don't make just pumpkin beers.
So she did that. And then she said, okay, so you do know now it's not a pumpkin beer. But do you also know it's a sour beer? And I was like, yes.
That's a good waitress that warned you about
exactly.
that, too. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they've already had that a bunch where people were like, oh, my God, this beer's sour. I didn't want that.
This
has got to
be bad. There's something wrong with this beer.
And that's kind of the perception with most people in this area because they're not that familiar with sour beers. But we're working on that as a community.
We're expanding the knowledge a little bit.
So I was very happy that she was, you know, that...
Educated.
Yeah, that educated and looking out for the customer in that aspect. I like that. So, and she also did say when I was like, yeah, oh yeah, I know it's a sour and that's what I'm interested in. She was like, okay, I'm impressed is what she said. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, that makes me feel good too. Like, that's great. And it was, like I said, tasty. what I did not like at Biroteca had nothing to do with the service. It was the fact that they had, like I said, they had 21 craft beer taps. 6 or 7 of them were devoted to one brewery. And it's normally like that.
Oh,
and
really?
That drives me crazy.
See, I was about to ask, was it maybe they just had a tap takeover that they
no.
did the night or two
nope.
before?
No, they did not.
Okay.
But here's the thing. If that was a place that brewed their own beer, I would understand that.
Correct.
You know, you have 20 taps, you make 6 or 7 of them yours, and then you have guest beers. I mean, I would even forgive it if all theirs, obviously, were their own
yeah.
things, or if they had, like, one guest beer tap. Some places do that, like, one guest beer, and then the rest is all theirs. You were even telling me an update on that Ocean City Brewing.
That's going where the Joe's Crab Shack used to be in Abingdon.
They're
going to
have, like, 30
taps, from what I'm hearing, and they're only going to dedicate about 5 of them to their own beers, and then have 25 guest beers on tap.
Which I'm all about that,
same
and I think
here.
That'll bring me in.
Just
definitely.
Because you're a brewery doesn't mean you only have to support your
right.
beers. There's a lot else out there, and you can't make everything yourself. So let's just support the craft beer community as a whole.
It's also very safe if you bring in beers from states where they don't really distribute too hard,
yep.
you know, in this area. Like Alpine, perfect to bring in because they're not really distributing that much
and
here.
You can't get it in bottles either.
Right.
So
and that's
going
to bring people
in. To go.
And that's going to bring people into that place because they're going to be like, oh my God, Alpine is like the only place you can get it except for Wine World. But that's if you want a growler. But anyway, back to the Biroteca thing. So I will say, all full disclosure, it's Evolution Brewing that they had 6 to 7
and
of.
And do you know why there's 6 to 7 Evolutions on tap?
Okay, I'm glad you're going to be able to explain this to me because I was wondering
if
there was a reason.
There is
Go
a
ahead.
Giant reason. The owners of said restaurant are also the owners of Evolution Craft Brewing Company.
God!
Evolution Beer Craft Beer Company is the owners. They own several different restaurants across the states. They actually even used to own some overseas, but they eventually sold those for better deals and better interests.
That's interesting.
They are a very big food and beer pairing company. That's why at Biroteca, they do a lot of this beer goes with this pizza, and so on. They're very big into the food and beer combination.
Well, I did notice, too, that they'll do beer and food special events.
Yep.
Where it's like a pairing dinner.
Correct.
And they've done a lot of Evolution ones.
Yep.
So I was just like, are they in bed with Evolution?
They definitely. Well, it's like Manor Hill and Gastropub. What is it called?
Salt. There's Salt and there's Victoria's.
Victoria's Gastro Pub is owned by the same people that just started Manor Hill Brewing Company.
Okay.
And you see that kind of a lot with smaller breweries, smaller restaurants, where they're not going to use the same names like Heavy Seas Tap House, OC Brewing's Tap House. They started off in the restaurant business and then they moved into the brewery business or vice versa, and they don't want the two to be fully linked together.
Interesting. From my perspective, I kind of wish that there would be that disclosure that they're
Correct.
Involved with
yeah.
Evolution. Because otherwise you walk in and you're like, why do they just keep having so many from one brewery?
Yeah.
And then when they could be filling some of those with other breweries.
Other random seasonal items. But yes. No. Biroteca is owned
that.
By the same people that own Evolution Brewing Company.
Interesting. Well, now it makes all that much sense. But
or to the people that just look at the six-pack EVO. EVO.
Yeah. Well, and then the other thing I noticed is they were using, it was either 2 or 3 other taps for 16 Mile products, which I'm not a big fan of 16 Mile. Maybe one day they'll have stuff that I'm interested in. I don't know, but right now, no. So I was looking at it and I'm like, okay, they have 20 taps, and right off the bat, there are only 11 for me to choose from. Because I've had Evolution stuff before, and
Good quality
fine,
stuff, but
it's fine.
When you're out at a restaurant paying restaurant pricing, you
right.
want to generally try something you've never had before,
yes.
or try something that you know is phenomenally
yes.
good.
And I'm sorry, but the Evolution stuff is not phenomenal. Like I said, it's pretty solid.
Yeah.
But when you just always have that on tap, I don't know, I feel like that kind of dissuades me a little bit from coming in.
Would be nice.
Yeah, keep the variety going, which is why now I'm pretty excited about the whole Ocean City Brewing thing because I thought all their taps would just be devoted to themselves. And you're telling me that they're potentially going to have 25 taps that have nothing to do with their beer.
Guest people, yep.
That's
and
crazy.
From the initial article that was released in Maryland, it said they were going to have 150 taps.
That's,
I have since heard from a very reliable source, it's more of 150 beer selections between the taps and the bottles you can have. Now,
I'll take that.
The facility they're taking over now had 24 taps. I've heard they plan on adding six more to make it a nice even 30, and then they're going to have roughly 120 different bottle selections you can choose from, which to me is a great idea for the environment and the area they're in.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you told me that, that kind of started to change my opinion a little bit.
Yeah.
What about if I'm excited or not? Because I wasn't really that excited. I was just more like cautious because I didn't know what to expect. But now I'm like, if they're going to have guest beers,
and it's
I got to see what's
such
there.
A new and upcoming brewery. They've been around for a year, 2 years at most, making beer and stuff. So it was one of those things when it first got released that, once again, the initial article said they were going to have 150 taps. Everybody was like, they're not going to be able to survive. It's such a new brewery. How are they going to fit 150 of their beers on tap?
You can't make that many.
Yeah. And then it was confirmed to me just today through one of my sales reps that, no, it's not 150 taps. They're going to have roughly 30 taps and then a very large bottle selection.
So media, get your facts right.
Correct.
It's one of the things to say in this instance. But, oh my gosh. Yeah, but Beeroteca, honestly, I like it a lot. Typically, you can find enough beers that you could be interested in. But I guess I should also say this. I'm the type of person that when I go to a bar, I want to get a sampler.
Mm-hmm.
So I want, so I'm getting like a bunch of smaller beers because I like variety.
Yeah.
Right. I just like variety. I like to jump around from different types. So for that reason, it kind of gets me bummed when they devote a bunch to like one brewery because I want to try a bunch of different stuff. If you're down with just like you just want to go out and you get want to get one pint or 2 pints of the same thing or whatever,
yeah,
then it'll work fine because there's bound to be something interesting that you're going to want to try. And I will say the first time we ever went to that location of Beeroteca, they had Union Brewing's AM Gold on tap.
I love that beer.
It's like a it was a golden ale with coffee.
I was gonna say it's a
coffee. So
I thought
good.
It was a cream ale. I thought it was like a coffee golden cream ale.
Oh, you might be right.
Yeah,
you might be right. Cream ale or golden ale, one of the two, and it with coffee added, and it was so phenomenal. And so they're always having like interesting kind of stuff like that, but I just want more of the taps devoted to that.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Speaking of crazy taps and crazy beer selections, you know World of Beer down in Baltimore City?
I was actually about to say that.
You know they're opening up a Towson location.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. In Towson.
And it's going to be a nice tavern with a lot of beer selections, and from what I'm hearing, excellent food. I have a little inside source of somebody that's working right there right now and have been trying a lot of the food they're putting out, and he is giving me stellar
really?
Reviews of it.
Okay. That makes me even more excited because I think they're supposed to have like 100 taps or something.
I don't know about 100. He was telling me about the beer list, and it sounds like a Max's Jr.
almost, of
what he's not a full-blown Max's Tap
right.
House down in the city, but it sounds like a miniature version of it in Towson.
Yeah, because they're probably not going to get first rate of refusal to things like Canteon.
Knowing
which
what,
they get.
What this business does and the area they're moving to, I have very good confidence that they're going to do very, very well.
Interesting. Wow. Okay. Well, now you got me excited about Ocean City Brewing. Now you got me excited again about World Beer because
yep.
I hadn't been thinking about it too much recently because it's not there yet. But,
correct. I want to say they're going to be doing the soft opening soon, the grand opening within a week or two.
Oh, okay. Damn, that's a lot closer than I thought. I got to get out there when it happens. Cool. Well, thanks for dropping all that knowledge on me.
Oh, my pleasure.
Now I know the Evolution Beeroteca connection, too. So, okay, well, it is about that time. No,
all
it is
right.
that time.
Now I get to finally try these mystery beers.
I'm sorry there is not a Fremont Abominable among these, but...
It's okay.
They can't all be like that. We'll find out. But A and B, one's dark, one's light. A is very yellow, but
cloudy,
hazy.
Yeah. A little sediment-y.
Like a hazy yellow.
From the smell, I definitely want to go like a Belgian wit, Belgian white of some sort.
It looks like
that. And when I say that, I don't mean the bastardized American version known as Blue Moon or Shock Top. An actual, and I don't want to say actual as in being from Belgium, but the actual style of a Belgian white.
Yeah, it does. It's got
that coriander orange flavor.
Coriander
the Hefeweizen
orange. Yeah, banana.
Little clove mixed in.
Yep, I could see. Yep, all those things. I could see all those things. There's a little bit of a sweetness on it, like a sugary aspect, mm-hmm. which makes it a little more like the banana going with that. It's kind of like banana chips, if anyone's ever eaten banana chips before. Yeah, it smells very Belgian-ish. And then I feel like I'm getting something else in there. I feel like the more I sniff it, the banana's not the typical type of banana that I get out of Belgian beers. I feel like this smells a little more ripe.
I can
than
see that.
Those banana.
When it
scents.
Does have a little bit more of a citrusy aroma than your traditional
yeah.
straight Belgian, but it's not that full blown artificial citrus aroma going on.
Mm-hmm. There's some natural citrusiness going on in there. Maybe a little bit of like a tangerine citrus coming through. That's interesting. I'm ready to taste it. What?
You get more of a clove banana flavor on. Taste on the flavor than you do on the aroma, in my opinion. Less citrus.
This is... Well, I definitely get that banana. Banana's pretty present. There's a bit of a lemony characteristic on there. It also kind of, like, hits my palate. Like, there's a little bit of, like, a sweetness to it. Like, and follow me on this. Hot peppers, when there's a sweetness on the hot peppers before it gets hot, I get a little bit of that. It's kind of weird. I don't know.
I don't get much of that myself.
Definitely the banana in there, though.
Mm-hmm.
And that lemony citrus.
On a hot summer's day, this would be really drinkable.
Yeah. Very wheat-esque going on. Mmm. That's not bad. Honestly, when you think about like a Belgian-ish beer, you think of all those flavor notes that are a little more dialed back. With this, I feel like they're richer, they're darker. More present. It's got a little bit more of a serious mouthfeel to it.
More body, yeah.
Pretty decent. Pretty decent.
No, for what I think is a wheat Hefeweizen, yeah, really good.
So B is very orange, little hazy, but not a whole lot. I can see some stuff behind it, through it. But, yeah, a little brownish tinge on the red as
nice
well.
Copper color.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully I want some hops.
Not a lot of hops. A little bit there.
Malty. A little bit of a pine characteristic going on there. A little bit of maybe a fruit roll-up smell to it as well. Some apple going on in there. Honey.
I get the apple.
Yeah.
I get the apple, slight hints of honey. I don't get much of a fruit roll-up myself.
I get a tad strawberry note. When I keep
smelling.
Are you smelling
that crack again? Strawberry? What other?
No.
You're going to smell some watermelon in there next?
I could just start naming things if you want. But no. That's all I smell. Tried it. What do you think?
Interesting.
It's really sweet, but it has almost a little bit of a tartness from
mm-hmm.
that super sweet aspect. Because, you know, like, something will be, like, really sweet, and it'll almost be tart because of the sweetness.
Yep.
It's weird. It just tastes real sugary.
Very herbal, too, though.
Yeah. There's a lot of pine.
Earthy.
A lot of earthiness, a lot of pine to go with it. Very sappy, like pine sap. The mouthfeel is a little more than I thought it would be. It's okay. The more I drink it, the more I get significantly pronounced pine characteristics. The pine just keeps growing with each sip. Super, super piney. I wouldn't be surprised if this is some sort of like super piney IPA or pale ale.
I was going to say, I lean more towards a pale ale than I would an IPA.
Mm.
And I feel like...
Maybe. But it would come down to what that ABV is.
I don't think it's that high.
I don't know. I feel like it could be like a 6.5, maybe?
At most.
Yeah, maybe a 6.5.
See, for me, that's more like the high 4s to mid 5 ranges for the ABV. But once again, I whiskey, I'm generally pretty good about picking my ABV out. Beer, it gets a little trickier. Because burrs can conceal that really, really well.
Yeah. Trying B and then going back to A, it kicks the citrus up in A. Still a lot of banana there, but the citrus is a little more present, lemony.
I get a little bit more clove, too, when you go back to it.
No, definitely. I could see that. Clove, coriander aspects to it. And the lemon is kind of mixing with, like, lemon peel as well with that bitterness. This is a conundrum. This is not my favorite episode that we've done. This is my least favorite, I will say.
Well, it's going to be tough to pick one, because they're both great representations of a beer. It almost boils down to which you just personally prefer style-wise.
B is so sweet and piney. Like, so sweet and piney. It's starting to almost become too much. A is interesting for what it is.
See, like, for me, I feel like B is more of a year-round drinkable beer, where A is more of that summertime hot weather beer.
Yeah, I can definitely see those instances.
Cold winter month, really wouldn't want to be drinking A. I could be drinking B during winter or summer, though.
Yeah. It's going to be hard for me to pick this. Okay. I think I kind of know where I want to go. You know?
Not quite yet.
You need a little bit of time. Actually, I should sip B a little more. Because while I'm taking sips, at some point I feel like I'm liking the sweetness a little bit, and then at other points I'm like, it's too much. I don't like it.
Well, see, I feel like for B, just sitting here drinking it, maybe a little too sweet, but paired with some food,
yeah,
B would be phenomenal.
Yep.
A, it could go either way. You're sitting there pounding them back. You're sitting there eating food. Doesn't matter on a hot day.
I do feel, yeah,
to me, is much more of that food beer.
I do feel like A is significantly more versatile as a beer. You could have it by itself. You could have it with food. And B would really benefit for food. Yeah, I can see that. God, this is hard. Just don't know. Okay, I think I know. I'm going to go with a, because of the style that I believe it is, I'm going to stick within that style. I'm going to go with a 4 for A. I think 4 has surprised me as far as that, those profiles, those flavor profiles that I associate with Belgians. It surprised me. Like I said, like deeper notes. Like the banana is a little more of a ripe banana, which I like more than a greener banana. Getting more of that coriander clove aspect to it, which is pretty good. More of the lemon. Decent. And then B, I don't think B is terrible. I'm going to give it 3. I can go 3 on that.
To be honest with you, I'm almost leaning on the exact opposite of you. I was already thinking to myself a 4
That's
on
fun.
B and a 3 on A. Mostly because wheat Hefeweizens aren't my favorite style. It's a very respectable, well-made beer. But it's just, to my palate, meh. But B, I'm kind of digging on B.
Okay. So
I'm going to go the exact opposite. 4 and 3.
Okay. So obviously these tie. 3.5 each. 3.5 and 3.5. Which I think is good. Because I think in a sense you could call these pretty even.
And on Brutal Battle, really, it's a scale of 1 to 10. But how many beers have ever actually scored above a 6?
Not many.
Exactly. We rate them really hard.
Especially not with an average. So, I think the highest single number I've given to a beer was an 8.
Wow.
I gave an 8 before. I may have done it twice. I think maybe just once, though. I don't know. I think the one I gave the 8 was a double duck pin by Union.
Oh, that's a phenomenal
number.
Unreal. Yeah.
Yeah, damn good. But okay, well, I'll just reveal them as A and B because they're both
they're
the
tied.
Same.
3.5 average.
3.5, 3.5. Okay, A, overall 3.5 is, Revolver Brewing out of Texas. Where in Texas?
Of course, Revolver would be from Texas.
Yeah, Granbury, Texas. It's by Revolver Brewing. It's called Blood and Honey American Ale. Ale brewed with blood orange peel, honey, and spices. An unfiltered golden, deep golden ale brewed with malted two-row barley and wheat. Well, we got the wheat. Finished with blood orange peel, Texas honey, and a blend of spices. 7% alcohol.
Wow. That
does not freaking taste like 7. I will say that.
That's a dangerous beer at 7%.
Wow. 7%? I would have put that at 5.
5 to 4.5.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, Revolver Brewing.
Good job, John.
That's pretty good. Sorry I didn't pick up on the blood orange aspect, but yeah.
We got some citrus notes.
Yeah. I think because it wasn't straight wheat is probably why we were feeling like it's more robust.
Uh-huh. Well, that is with a 7% alcohol, too, in a light beer like this. It's going to have a little bit more body and feel to it.
Definitely. Yeah, that's a very good point.
I agree.
All right, B, also with an overall 3.5, is Panteus Dropus.
I think he's trying to send me a hitting message here.
Don't die. Oh, yeah. Well, it's possible. Panteus Dropus is by Ellicottville Brewing Company. And where are they out of? I haven't heard of Ellicottville. Out of Ellicottville, New York. Okay, it's an Imperial IPA. I said potentially an IPA. Yep. 10.6%. Okay, that does not taste like 10.6. No. Well executed. What did I say? Like 7.5?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
That'll definitely make the panties drop us.
Yours or?
Either or. Like.
Brewed with secret malts and loads of Cascade hops. Glorious flavor, apparently. This actually was a beer that... Actually, both of these beers were given to me by listener Kyle Norman.
Nice.
The blood and honey he gave to me as a gift... the Panteus Dropus was one that I won from the Beer Me Bro competition, which if people didn't listen to that, go back, listen to the Return of Beer Me Bro Part 1 and Return of Beer Me Bro Part 2, because the beers that we had as the good beers on that were very awesome. But thank you very much, Kyle Norman, because both of these were interesting at the least.
Uh-huh.
Not the highest rated, but how often does that happen?
Well, and especially with, like, tasting them blind.
Yeah.
Without knowing even the style. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I wouldn't mind not knowing the brewery and what beer they're doing, but just to get a general ballpark of the style would really change the ratings quite a bit. But we're going into them blind. We have no idea what we're tasting. We're only making guesses. It gets a lot harder to rate beers when you have no idea what you're drinking.
It is harder, but I also want to say that I think that our issue with perceiving alcohol in these potentially could have been because the last episode we had that Bourbon Barrel Aged Abominable.
Correct.
And that was 11%.
This is our third episode of one day.
Yes.
So
I think that may be at play here, which is why we're like, oh, 10.6%, no way. Whereas if that was the first beer we tried in the first episode, we would may have been like, oh, there's a lot of alcohol.
And now that I retried, you get that more... thicker body feel, double IPA feel to it, now that I'm knowing it. But beforehand, it was like, what the heck am I drinking here?
Well, that's probably why there's a very perceivable sweetness to it. Because as beers get higher in ABV, they typically get more sweet.
It's like the Dogfish 120 Minute. It is super sweet.
Yeah. And that's why it's amazing for... aging, and I don't like to drink it fresh.
No, Dogfish 120 to me is useless to drink fresh. You want to let that sit for at least 3 years before you consume it.
Or you can do like me and do 5.5 years, and it's unreal.
I had a 9-year under my belt.
What? Where?
My brother's house. I found it at his house. I was like, hey, what's this? Can we crack it open? And he was like, yeah, sure. I'm like, dude, do you realize how old this is? He's like, no. I'm like, this is a 9-year-old 120. He's like, is it any good anymore? I'm like, oh, yeah, it's good. And we're cracking this bad boy open.
No, what you should have said is absolutely not. I will take that off your hands.
Hey, he's my brother. I can't do
that. That's true. Okay, that's fine. You're a good guy. Well, that just leads me to something that I'm always curious about. Do you have any really good age stuff at Wine World right now?
I got some stuff hidden in the back section. None of it's quite ready for sale yet. I want to let it go a little bit longer.
Okay, answer this. Any 120?
Yes, but not old 120. It's more of the current 2015 first and second release.
What about Worldwide Stout?
Maybe.
How old are we talking? Maybe. Come on, give me a ballpark.
I want to say maybe 2-3 years.
Okay, I'm hoping it's closer to that 3. You call me up when it's at 5, and we'll talk.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to let it sit to the 5. Wait,
is it multiple cases?
No, no, it's not multiple cases.
It's like one.
With Worldwide Stout Dogfish 120, I'm lucky if I can get 2 cases at a store.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, unfortunately, no longer are the days where I could get a 4 or 5 case stack of 120 or Worldwide Stout and put it on the floor for everybody's concern. Now it has become sought after. Look for it. So now it's allocated.
Oh,
so I get a keg. I usually get a case or 2. Keg automatically goes on the growler station. If I get a case, 2 to 3 4 packs go into my ageable section. The rest go for sale. If I can get a full case, then usually maybe 4 or 5-ish 4 packs will go into the ageable section, and the rest will be sold fresh.
Okay.
But like if you remember Duclaw's Devil's Due last year, I got some of that aging. Got about a case of it aging in the store. I plan on releasing that on 2 to 3 year mark each.
I have one of those bottles sitting.
Oh, I got 8 of them sitting.
I have a 2-year-old Retribution as well currently. I'm going to keep that going. I keep it going.
Uh-huh.
Also squirreling away a Palo Santo Maroon by Dogfish Head.
See, I don't like the Palo. I don't like aging my IPAs on oak. It kills
that's
flavor.
Not an IPA.
The Palo Santo?
No, Palo Santo, I believe.
I thought it was.
Well, it's technically, it says malt beverage, but it's kind of like a stout. Yeah, on Palo Santo wood.
No, the Palo Santo is not a stout.
No, you look it up right now. I mean, it doesn't say. It says malt beverage, technically, but it's like a stout. You look that up right now, and you tell me that I'm right.
I can't. I don't have internet access.
Okay, well then forget about it.
I tried.
Everyone else look it up, and you'll see who is right. Anyway, Mike, it's been a pleasure.
Always.
Thank you so much for coming on.
This might
be where the night ends because I'm having a hard time.
I think for this one, yeah. Three shows in one night, number of beers we had, especially some of the higher octane beers. It's a good point to stop for the night.
Yeah, I feel
there's always the future.
But I will share with you that we've gotten some feedback and people have said that they really like you on the show, and you're
up
there. So obviously you'll be back again. You're welcome whenever you want. Basically, just let me know, and yeah,
I'm pretty much free whenever you need me.
Okay. Well, you might be involved in another tournament sometime soon.
I'm totally down with that, but let's try and tone that down from like double IPAs to something a little bit more alcohol percentage.
Okay.
So
well, we'll find
it. Makes the drive home a lot safer.
Well, what would you like that's a little bit less? Just straight IPAs. No Imperials?
I hate to say it, but session IPAs, the pale ales would be kind of a crazy.
Oh, okay.
You could do like a pale ale to session IPA, because technically session IPAs, in my opinion, are pale ales, so.
Well, okay. Maybe. You know me.
I like my hops.
I'll weigh the options.
Hops, and more hops.
Yeah, I hear you. That's true. All right, and on that note, everybody else go out and find some beers with hops, and more hops, and check out the website, BrutalBattle.com. I'm sorry, goddamn.
beer will do that to you.
Yeah, no, it does at some point. Look, people, there are warning labels on beer for a reason. It tells you it will impair your judgment, but it does not say, and it should, that it will impair your ability to talk. So, I know everyone's experienced that, but at any rate, I have given you that public service announcement. And now you know, and knowing is half the battle, just like G.I. Joe said. Yeah, exactly. But on that note, thank you so much, everyone. And please remember to keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.